This is Phoenix FM.
It's 1-2-3 with me, Bob Simpson. Now, next Friday, October the 10th, is World Mental Health Day. Carol Finney is a cognitive behavioural psychotherapist from CBT Services Brentwood at the Brentwood Clinic in Shenfield Road, Brentwood. And today we'll be talking about coping with depression, and Carol joins me now. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon to you. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Now, look, before we go on to that, though, there was that little item in the news about people who drink half a bottle of wine a day. They could be offered the first drug ever to be licensed to help reduce alcohol consumption. Trials show it cuts drinking by 61% over 6 months when used with counselling. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have heard about it. I understand it's not for people who've got alcohol problems, but really people who just drink, I think it's half a bottle of wine a night.
Yeah, which is, well, it's probably excessive, it's not madly excessive,
no.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes, but I think they're probably... It seems a good idea if it is going to help people, but obviously it's got to be used for the right people and make sure they get the right support.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
Very.
Do you think you're going to be involved in any of that?
I don't think so. Okay. I hope not.
Okay.
I don't know if I mean taking it or doing the treatment.
Okay. All right, well, let's turn to our subject of the day. It's coping with depression. And first of all, let's get an idea of what actually depression is. Now, Dr. John Haig is a GP and NHS East of England IAPT clinical lead. Now, IAPT is Improving Access to Psychological Therapies. Now, here's Dr. John Haig's description of depression.
Depression is a very common illness in which people feel down, depressed and hopeless and take much less pleasure and interest in doing the normal things in life that they find interesting and pleasurable than they would do normally. And it goes on for more than 2 weeks, because we all have bad days when we feel a bit low. And if that goes on for a day or two, that's unfortunate, but it's life. Whereas if you have those feelings and they go on for more than 2 weeks, that's probably depression. I think we would tend to divide depression up into mild, moderate and severe. And mild depression is very common, and people can have mild depression and will often recover with some self-help measures that they can institute themselves over a couple of weeks. So it's very common in general practice to see someone who's depressed. And if you give them some simple measures to look after themselves, they will recover. And when they come back in a couple of weeks, they're much, much better. Someone who's moderately depressed may recover with those measures or may need some help with under medication or talking treatment, whereas someone who's severely depressed almost certainly will need both medication and talking treatment to help them get better and help them stay better in the future.
That's Dr. John Haig. As a sufferer over the years myself, that seems like a fairly accurate sort of description. What do you think, Carol?
I thought it was a very good article, so it's quite clear and precise. I suppose the thing I'd like to add is that it tends to be more common in women, depression, 1 in 4, and for men about 1 in 10.
Really?
I think it's important that people do realise there is different aspects of depression, that when you go to your GP, you won't always be offered tablets. It's not appropriate, but certainly just watchful waiting is one treatment that the GP's mentioned, but also a talking therapy, maybe counselling, could be cognitive behaviour therapy.
Right, okay. And of course, people present with other sort of symptoms, all many and varied symptoms, without even knowing it's depression, really.
Certainly.
Don't they?
Yes.
So there's different ways of suffering from depression.
Yes, I think many people may well go to the doctor with what we see, what we call somatic, a physical difficulty. It may be sleeping, it may be pain.
Yep.
And therefore that's why often the GP will want to exclude certain physical things, such as a low thyroid problem. It may be masking in other illnesses, and certainly apart from depression, you could have other mental illnesses that aren't quite clear yet, but certainly to try to exclude physical things, usually the first thing a GP would try and do.
Right, okay. Well, you know, apart from tablets, there are lots of other things that people can do to help them cope with depression, and probably there's no one sort of magic answer for everyone, because everyone is different. But can we run through a few ways of, things to try, let's say?
Absolutely,
yeah?
Yes. Well, the first thing that I would suggest is it's about a little bit of looking after yourself, mm-hmm. your diet, your washing, you know, just your showering, taking fluids, to try some exercise, some yeah. self-help things. There's several websites that I know you're going to put on later if you haven't already done it.
Yes, I will later.
And there's books that you can get from the library. for guided self-help. And also, if you contact your GP, you mentioned IAP that the GP was talking about, Improving Access Psychological Therapies. They can provide on the NHS counselling and or cognitive behaviour therapy, either in groups, by computer, through a book, or one-to-one. Really, right. It is depending what's right for the individual.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I mean, I've tried various things over the years, and one of the things that I have found wonderful is exercise. You know, just walking, or maybe doing a bit of yoga, that sort of thing. Absolutely fantastic for me, but it, you know, it may not suit everybody.
Yes.
But now, what about alcohol? Now, we've spoken about alcohol just now. It seems like we're a bit obsessed, but we're not. There's no wine in the studio, folks, at all. It's not a good idea, is it, if you're suffering from depression?
Certainly there's some things that do make your depression worse, but also if you're taking medication. If we think that alcohol is a mood depressant, so it will make your mood low, but also because of its diuretic effect on the bladder, it will also, if you're on medication, it will take out of your body, and therefore you won't be getting the proper effects of the medicine either.
Okay.
So alcohol really should be either not taken at all or really limited when your mood is low, because it doesn't help.
Right. I think also from personal experience, it gives you a boost, but then kind of you take a dive afterwards, probably the next day, and
that's
makes you
absolutely
feel
true.
Twice as bad as you felt at the start. Is that, that's a common thing, is it?
I think, as if we think that to some extent alcohol is almost like a poison in the body, and it's a bit like sleep, isn't it? Alcohol might help some people go off to sleep, but doesn't maintain the sleep. And of course, you wake up in the morning, you know, you're dehydrated, you've got a bad head, you don't feel well, and you can't function.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the way people live their lives? Does routine help?
Certainly, I think that's a really good point, that when you're depressed, I think you need some routine. You need to be active. I think you need to be meeting people. You might join a club or a support group, but being alone is not helpful when you're depressed. You do need company. You need to be involved in things.
Right, okay. Now, what about the underlying causes of depression? I mean, I think, again, possibly from personal experience, sometimes there might be something going on in your life that you're kind of not even aware of, perhaps, that is an issue with you. And I think this is maybe where counselling comes in, yeah?
Yeah, well, I think that's what you're just saying, is that often in our lives, they're very changeable. So if somebody has certain kind of loss, it could be a job or status or money. We know that if you've got a past history of depression, you're more likely to have it again. Certain cultures, Afro-Caribbean people, Asian refugees and asylum seekers, more prone to depression. And even maybe the kind of social situation you live in, if it's very deprived, you know, if you're struggling, it can be very hard, I think, sometimes some people to realise there's help out there and how they're going to get it.
Well, this is the big thing as well, that sometimes people are reluctant to seek help, aren't they? And that is the worst thing of all, to struggle on endlessly on your own. There is help out there. What should people do? What's the first port of call?
Well, I think it depends what you want to do. If you want to either go down the route initiative self-help or use a charity such as Mind.
Yep.
If you're thinking you can go to we mentioned about IAP, psychological therapies.
Okay.
You can refer yourself through that. Or you may try a private system using cognitive behaviour therapy. Certainly to look at the websites and see what's going to be right for you. Generally, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence, who give out guidelines and research on various health things, suggest that talking therapies is one of the best things to help depression.
Yeah, certainly helped me in my time. Yeah,
good.
Yeah. But I would think the first port of call has got to be the GP, has it?
Absolutely. The GP is the expert in this area, and if he doesn't know, if he's not sure what to do with you, I'm sure he'll definitely know somebody who will help. So don't keep it to yourself.
To point you
get help.
Right direction, excuse me. Yeah. Okay, well, look, we've got loads of people that can be contacted, loads of organisations. There's probably far too many to mention here, but we will put them up on the Phoenix FM website later on. Would you just like to give us a couple, maybe?
Yes,
for anyone's listening?
Yeah. One that can be very helpful for information is patient.co.uk. It's got some excellent information on lots of various illnesses, physical and mental health. If you're interested in finding out more about improving access to psychological therapies, look up our local mental health trust, www.sept.nhs.uk. Also, Mind in Leonger Road, www.mind.org.uk. And of course, if you want somebody to talk to, or you feel you want to email them to talk, please, if you feel suicidal, contact the Samaritans or take yourself to the local A&E department.
Absolutely. And talk to someone, family, friends, anybody, and just talk it through. Okay, that's brilliant. Well, as I say, we'll put some details up on the Phoenix FM website later. But basically, just to summarise ways of coping, we're going to be more active, get out there, get some exercise, get the endorphins going in your brain.
Look after yourself.
Yes, that's right. We're not going to drink too much alcohol. We're going to eat healthy. Healthily, lots of fresh fruit and vegetables.
Right.
Try and get into a routine. And above all, I guess, if you're struggling, seek help, yeah?
Absolutely.
All right, Carol. Now, your own organisation is there for anybody who needs a bit of help. Would you like to give some details on that?
Yes. As I say, I'm cognitive behaviour therapy, and I'm on 07 66 906 246 if you'd like to some help, or you just would like to talk about a problem that you have.
Fantastic.
I just want to mention that, as you said, next Friday is World Mental Health Day.
Absolutely.
From the World Health Organization, and their main research area this year is schizophrenia, so please support them. Thank you.
Okay, well, next Friday, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but we have got some people coming in from Essex Mental Health Community to have a chat, so I don't know all the final details of that, but we're not going to let the day go unmarked.
Brilliant.
So there we are. Well, Carol Finney, thanks once again for coming, and you're back with us next month as well. What are we going to be talking about next month?
I think we're going to be looking at anxiety.
Okay. All right. Brilliant.
Right.
We'll
thank you very much.
Do that. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Bye.